This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, and we're launching into the third hour of this live Sunday edition of the program. Our toll-free number for you is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms as well. They're open for you. If you want to sound like you're sitting here in the studio with us, join us over at discord.lrn.fm. They're right now talking about the Kobe Bryant helicopter crash.
Tragedy.
9 people dead. In fact, apparently everybody on board this helicopter perished in a what was described as large explosion that happened on a foggy day out in California today. And as one guy, I think it's Horn Solo, in our chat room points out, he says, Neil Peart dies and 4 or 5 people on my social media mention it. This Kobe guy dies and everyone posts about it. Sports ball guy, right?
Yep. And don't pretend like you don't know who he is.
Yes, he was. If I'd heard the name, I would have been able to tell you basketball, but that's about as far as I would have been able to get. I wouldn't have been able to tell you what team he was on or anything like that. Don't know much about him. But, you know, sports ball people, people pay a lot of attention to him, and so there's going to be a lot of attention paid to this particular death. Of course, Neil Peart didn't die in a helicopter crash. He died of whatever natural causes, so there's certainly a lot more drama around this one.
And age, right? Like,
yeah, Neil Peart was old.
Yeah.
Right. And this guy was, what, in his 40s or something like that? Early 40s?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. So if you want to join us here, you can bring up whatever you want. We've been talking about the cameras and facial recognition software going into place in London. That was where we started the show. We've been all over the place since then. You're welcome to bring up whatever's on your mind. With you tonight, by the way, it's Ian.
Pretty Rich.
And Melanie.
And there was just a little bit more before we get into traffic solutions, which doesn't sound like that interesting topic, but you said it's
You've never been stuck in traffic?
Well, it must be interesting because it's the number one objection to anarchy is roads.
Well, so we'll build the roads.
It must be really, really interesting.
You may not
people.
Like some of these solutions then.
Well, I want to hear what they are. The mathematicians say they've got traffic problems solved.
They nailed it.
And we're going to find out what that means coming up here in moments. But they're discussing these systems they're putting into place, according to various sources. We shared the Verge.com, London deploying, the police there deploying facial recognition cameras across the city. And we pointed out that there's already apparently one trial that showed 81% of the so-called matches suggested by the facial recognition system were incorrect. However, the Metropolitan Police say the technology is tried and tested and says the algorithms they use from biometric firm NEC identify 70% of wanted suspects and only generate false alerts for 1 out of every 1,000 cases.
Okay.
So 1 out of 1,000 is a way different number than 81% failure rate.
There was I think it might have come out of California, but they were doing some facial recognition on a suspect. And apparently, you know, the description of the suspect or whatever, and, they're trying to find the database and trying to describe them. They go like, well, it kind of looks like Woody Harrelson. Mm-hmm. So they did a match of like Woody Harrelson versus the database and found the suspect by using not even the real information, just what he looked like.
So just by what somebody said.
By somebody said.
Yeah. Not the machine or the code or the software.
Well, but the software, the facial recognition software, like matched Woody Harrelson's mm-hmm. face with someone in the database. And that's how they found the suspect.
But it needed a human to interact and make it get it right. And look, I don't doubt that the facial recognition is going to get better. I mean, it seems inevitable that the technology is going to become more accurate. It's going to become
inevitable once you insert government into it as its main or only user. Mm-hmm. Because they have an incentive to make it not as accurate. Or to at least not continue to make it more accurate.
And the incentive is because
you get all those false positives.
And that's good for them because it just gives them an excuse to harass somebody, you mean?
Harass, arrest, collect the jail fee, whatever, yeah.
Privacy advocates describe the deployment of the technology as an attack on civil liberties. The use of facial recognition around the world has been criticized by many tech experts and privacy advocates who note such systems are often racially biased and are misused by the police.
Well, duh.
Even some big tech companies like Google are backing a moratorium on the technology. Silke Carlo, director of Big Brother Watch, told the Daily Mail, quote, "This decision represents an enormous expansion of the surveillance state and a serious threat to civil liberties in the UK. It's a breathtaking assault on our rights, and we will challenge it, including by urgently considering the next steps in our ongoing legal claim against the Metropolitan Police and the Home Secretary. This move instantly stains the new government's human rights record, and we urge an immediate reconsideration."
That's a surprise coming from Google, who collects every piece of data that they can.
That was not Google. That was Big Brother Watch.
Oh, no. I thought you just said Google was calling for a moratorium.
I did say that. Google is apparently backing a moratorium on the technology, but the next quote was from someone from Big Brother Watch, the director of Big Brother Watch.
But Google's calling for a moratorium.
On facial recognition technology.
Right, but it's this system isn't Google's system, right?
That's probably why, right?
Yeah, so then they have time
to fix it.
Get their own up to speed. Yeah, no.
And I think... Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I'm just saying it's surprising that the one organization that collects every piece of data that can possibly exist in your life, like all of a sudden doesn't want your face to be recognized.
Do they have your face? Yeah, I guess they do have your face, probably Google, because they had Google Plus for a while. Plus, people upload their photos to their mail profiles and things like that.
Do that? Yeah.
I don't know. I've never done either of those, actually.
I see it sometimes where I'll be mailing somebody for the first time. I don't know who they are, right? Like, or they send me mail, and I can see their little picture associated with it.
So. Wait, I'll see that when I email people, but I've never felt the need to upload a photo to my email account.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't see what purpose it serves.
You can join us here. You can bring up whatever you want. And I just, you know, regarding this facial recognition, it seems so inevitable that this is going to continue coming down on various different places. It's going to start in the UK. It's going to go from there, and it's going to be implemented in a variety of cities all over the place. I wish I had a, you know, better feeling about it, but it's going to be hard to oppose it. You're just going to have to put in whatever, whatever personal countermeasures that you feel that you need to, whether it's wearing one of these masks or wearing the shirt that's got all the faces on it.
Blackout sunglasses.
Will that work?
Black bar. I don't know. It's a novelty item, but it's like, you know, when they black out someone's eyes in pictures, it's just a square black rectangle.
Right.
They sell sunglasses that do that. So anytime someone takes a picture of you, your face is already kind of blacked out as a novelty item.
Yeah, I mean, you would think it would need to have access to most of your facial features in order to be able to identify you, but they may still get partial matches if all they've got is your, you know, the bottom of your nose and your mouth.
Well, and you said earlier, right, the gait they're taking.
The caller earlier said the gait, they're looking at how people move and matching that. And that's one of the hardest things to change because, you know, you can't really do that unless you think constantly about it,
right?
How to change how you walk.
You kind of just walk how you walk on an everyday basis.
Yeah, and I don't even know, like, if you're thinking about it, maybe you can change it up enough, but could you really think about it that constantly to where you can? I'm sure somebody could if they really put their mind to it, but that's a hard one too.
Or just have, like, develop, like, two different walks. Like, this is my public walk, and this is my, like, secret walk.
Right.
Start to swagger in public.
Or limp.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so you can bring up whatever you want, but traffic is something that's on a lot of people's minds, especially folks that are commuting for work every day for an hour or a half hour.
You may be stuck in traffic right now.
Maybe so, and you're hating it.
So mathematicians have solved traffic jams, and they're begging cities to listen.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Most traffic jams are unnecessary, and this deeply irks mathematicians who specialize in traffic flow. Have you ever looked at one of these, like, traffic pattern...
like a map or something?
Not a map, an animation that shows, like, why, what causes the traffic to back up.
Where do you see these?
You could probably just Google it. I mean, you just pull up, like, you know, traffic pattern animation or something. They're very interesting to see what causes it and then how it starts to break up.
Is it Google that provides the data or something like that? Like,
no,
where do they get it from?
I don't know. Huh. I've seen them and they're interesting. It's fascinating how they start. They reserve particular vitriol for local transport engineers. They do not have competencies in the field of system-related increases in traffic performance, says Alexander Krylatov, a mathematics professor at St. Petersburg University. If engineers manage to achieve local improvements, after a while, the flow rearranges, and the same traffic jam patterns appear in other places.
Hmm.
Burn. Krylatov would like to solve urban traffic jams forever so much that he has co-authored a book of new math approaches to traffic ways and ways to implement them. and the four takeaways, I guess
we'll share those on the way here. 855-450-FREE. So what do the traffic geeks know about the traffic patterns and solving them that the government bureaucrats just won't listen to? All right, that's what we're going to talk about here.
How to solve it.
Your calls and thoughts are also welcome. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. You want to talk about road rage or whatever you want to do, you can here. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. Free Talk Live.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Pick up two bottles of Super Mega Fish Oil.
Get the third bottle free. Packed with omega-3, DHA, and EPA fatty acids.
Super Mega is great for your dog's immune system, healthy skin, and soft, shiny fur.
Dogs love it. Try Super Omega Fish Oil.
Buy two. Get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
I can definitely say that I have found the best cryptocurrency wallet. Certainly the best named one. I'm Mark Edge, and I love the Edge wallet. I've been using it for the last few months. You can buy, sell, trade, and hold your cryptocurrency securely. I trust my holdings of all the major cryptocurrencies to Edge wallet, and you should too. No long phrases to memorize, just a username and password. Secure your freedom with Edge wallet. Get it now on Apple or Android in the App Store or at edge.app.
Have you heard of LibertyCon? LibertyCon is not only a convention with great speakers like Whole Foods CEO and co-founder John Mackey and Nobel Prize winner Vernon Smith, but it's also unique because you get a chance to network with more than 70 pro-liberty organizations, one-on-one for the purpose of career advancement, business, and internship opportunities. April 3rd through 5th in Washington, D.C. You can learn more by visiting LibertyCon.com and use code FTL for a $10 discount on your registration. That's LibertyCon.com. Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. local.bitcoin.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Lumines. The Lumines anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Yeah! It's Free Talk Live. Bring up whatever you want here. The toll free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. Gene, the Christian anarchist in our chat room, says traffic jams are caused by idiots who can't drive. Lots of people have opinions about this, but so do the mathematicians, and that's what we're going to get into here. Four takeaways from what some of these math geeks say can solve traffic problems. You've got that story, Richie. We're going to continue with it coming up here. It's Ian, Richie, and Melanie in the studio, and of course, you're welcome to join the show. You can dial in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. And here's an update from LibertyCon, which is coming up in April, April 3rd through the 5th. It's going to be a unique Liberty Convention happening in Washington, D.C. We've told you about some of the speakers they're going to have, like John Mackey, the Whole Foods CEO, speaking on conscious capitalism. But they're also going to have a couple of debates, including Is Government Necessary?, which will feature David Friedman, who will be taking the side that government is not necessary, and somebody named Timothy Sandifer, who will be arguing that it is necessary. Another debate they're going to have is, does capitalism require government intervention? Economics editor for Barron's, Gene Epstein, will be saying that no, we don't need to have intervention, and Stephen Perlstein will argue in favor of it. You can learn more over at LibertyCon.com. Mark your calendar for April 3rd through the 5th, and go ahead and get your tickets now. Save $10 on your registration by using code FTL, like Free Talk Live. That's code FTL at LibertyCon.com. Go over there and get signed up. We will look forward to seeing you there, because Free Talk Live will be broadcasting from the event. I've never been before. I'm looking forward to checking it out. LibertyCon.com, code FTL, April 3rd through the 5th in D.C., we'll look forward to seeing you there. And D.C. is one of those places that is just notorious for terrible traffic. So I am not looking forward to the aspect of traveling in D.C. In fact, we may even take a train down just to avoid, you know, all the traffic snarls.
We were in D.C. over Christmas.
And how was it?
It was vacant because everyone's gone.
Yeah,
right. So there's almost no traffic issues. I think we got stuck in, you know, a little bit of a backup. Heading back, we went to like a mall in Virginia, mm-hmm. and then hit some traffic on the way to the mall and back in and out of Virginia. But in D.C. city area, like, we walked mostly everywhere, but there was not many cars on the road.
Sweet. You know, you lucked out.
We did.
All right. But have you been there before when it's normal?
The previous time I've been in D.C. was an eighth grade class field trip.
Okay, so you wouldn't have been paying much attention.
Would not have been paying attention.
Right. All right, so you got a story from, where was it, by the way, this?
Fast Company.
Fast Company. All right, very good.
The four takeaways from the book of new math approaches to traffic and ways to implement them. So this is where...
A real page turner. Glad they boiled it down to 4 points.
Right. It might be fascinating, you know, if you're the mathematician. So takeaway number one. All drivers need to be on the same navigation system.
Oh, really?
Cars can only be efficiently rerouted if instructions come from one center hub.
Oh, central control.
One navigation system rerouting some drivers does not solve traffic jams.
What do you think about that one?
Well, that's why I kind of brought it up, because I thought these would be interesting, especially with Melanie here and the, you know, the anarchist libertarian perspective. How do you do it, right? I don't like it, but if the mathematicians say, like, this is the way to do it, then you have to choose, right? Even Uber, when they were talking about their self-driving cars within cities, were already petitioning that you have to have one self-driving car company allowed in the city, and that's it. Because Lyft and Uber are not going to talk to each other. And if you have more than one, then there could be a conflict.
Well,
on
then I guess they need to start talking to each other. That's not everybody else's problem.
Well,
I don't see why they wouldn't be able to talk to one another. I mean, even, you know, different computer manufacturers have standards, right? Like, there's the USB standard. It's not like you go and you get a Toshiba laptop and it's got a completely different connector on it than the Samsung or whatever.
But if you buy an iPhone, you have Lightning, and then
that's true.
But then, but then you can still get those generic. I bought a phone charger a couple weeks ago for like $4. No,
for iPhone, you mean?
Yeah.
You're saying you can get a generic version of the Lightning charger.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that much is true.
But it's not,
a different
standard across phones.
But phones aren't trying to drive into each other at, you know, 70 right. miles an hour at 5 tons.
But,
so it's kind of less of an issue.
So how do you get Lyft and Uber and Arcade City or whatever other self-driving car, whatever, you know what I'm talking about. It's the only third example I can think of. How do you get those navigation systems to communicate with each other voluntarily?
Well, so it's already illegal to run your car into someone or into another car.
Right, so they would have an incentive to do things to avoid that.
Because it's like saying, well, I just refuse to open my eyes when I drive because I think there should only be one eyeball in the road. And if we're just going to all refuse to look out the window, and then, well, yeah, you're going to run into each other. Don't do that.
Okay. So about the one hub navigation system, you just want all the navigation companies to work with each other, whatever nav company is in your car, to make the traffic jams less efficient. They're all going to have to talk to each other. They're all going to have to cooperate.
I'm not saying anyone's going to have to do anything.
I don't know how rerouting people... I
see what he's saying.
Seems to be a big chunk of information missing from that.
Well, we obviously don't have the whole book here, but I think I understand what the math guy here is saying. He's saying that if people have different systems for rerouting, right? Like, so if you come up against a traffic issue.
Like if you have Waze will reroute you the fastest route based on what they have for data.
And it'll change during your drive. If you are coming up on... You know, you're going one direction to go home that you normally go, but it turns out that an accident happens, 5 minutes ago as you were on your way home. If there's a way to get off that road before you get to the accident, Waze, Google purchased Waze, W-A-Z-E, by the way, for people that don't know, it's going to take you off that route and go a different route if that other route is faster. If it's still faster to get through the traffic jam, it'll still take you through the traffic jam.
Right.
So it makes a decision sort of on the fly. And so what this guy is saying is if you've got different traffic control or navigation systems telling people to go the same direction because they think that's the best way off, well, then maybe the other way will then become jammed because you've got different traffic or systems that are not aware of what the other ones are doing, and so it could cause
another app
log
doesn't
jams.
Know that Waze is rerouting 75.
So then it sounds like this, their alleged solution is that it picks and chooses who's going to get the fastest routes.
It's just saying that if it were one system, that one system would have full knowledge of all of the cars and where they are and be able to make better decisions. And I can see the argument there.
Right.
But if Waze has one car going in that direction, and they know that that car now slows down and it's for whatever reason doing 25 and a 55...
Mm-hmm.
It knows that.
That's right. Waze knows that.
So it can use that information. It doesn't have to have every car with Waze in it for it to know that.
Well, but if another navigation system also has a car there going 25 and a 50, and Waze reroutes you because it doesn't see the other nav system and a slow car,
right,
you will back up in traffic there. And
it's Waze... not as efficient. That's true.
It is.
Is everybody
driving around with GPS on their way to and from work anyway? Like that.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter. But if you
Well, it does matter because if you're not listening to the net, if you don't have a navigational system turned on.
Well, he's talking about a world where everybody would. Where
how
every
to solve
car,
traffic jams.
Right, where every car would be connected to some sort of central oracle that would know where everything is. So, I mean, look.
What if I just don't want to listen to my GPS?
He's talking about a world where that probably wouldn't even be an option anyway. Right, he's saying everybody would be keyed into this system.
Ideally,
yeah.
Right? All drivers, same navigation system. One navigation system rerouting some drivers doesn't solve it.
Yeah,
it has to be one.
And he's not necessarily wrong about that. So let's talk further about this here. 855, 450 free. And there are some benefits to centralization. Just in the same way there are benefits to decentralization, they are two different ways to solve problems, and some of them are more effective on some problems than others. 855, 450 free, like freedom, free talk live.
The next generation wallet is coming from Divvy. In just a few taps, you'll be able to send, earn, spend, and exchange digital money in seconds. Send money around the globe with only a swipe. Instantly exchange between Divvy, Bitcoin, and fiat right in the mobile app and withdraw directly to your bank account. Divvy already offers the first one-tap solution for earning passive income with crypto. Multi-tiered masternodes allow everyone to partake in the network. Visit DivvyProject.org. DivvyProject.org.
Gold has definitely been on the move recently, and there is no more secure investment historically. McIlvany ICA has been helping people take delivery of precious metals and find storage options for decades. They've helped thousands of investors with their precious metal IRAs. Call ICA today for your free portfolio review at 800-525-9556 or download their free report online at ICAGoldSilver.com to learn how you can double your gold and silver ounces even within an IRA. 800-525-9556. ICAGoldSilver.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Retired L.A. Lakers superstar Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter were killed on board a helicopter that crashed in Southern California. USA Radio Network's John Hunt has more.
Bryant's 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, was also killed. Here's the audio from the Los Angeles County Fire Department.
Reported to be a copter down approximately 300 yards east of the intersectional units, continuing to come up on LA County for assignment.
The Federal Aviation Administration and National Transportation Safety Board are investigating the crash. Bryant's death comes a day after LeBron James passed him, now at number 3 on the NBA all-time scoring list.
L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva.
As the chief indicated, there were no survivors. We have a manifest that indicates that there was 9 people on board the aircraft. The pilot plus 8 individuals.
This is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll know this is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only 2 documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
It's Free Talk Live. You bring up what you want here. The toll free number is 855-453 like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. So we're talking about the mathematicians who have one of them's come out with a book on how to fix traffic problems. And the first solution that he's suggesting here, and we're going to go through 4 of them,
yep,
is centralization of navigation systems, meaning that there should only be one, he says, one system to have all cars on that one system, and that will make things more efficient.
The Highlander of navigation.
We'll talk about that on the way here. And if you want to join us, our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Also, don't forget about ForkFest coming up this summer. You can join a bunch of liberty-minded folks in the woods of northern New Hampshire at Rogers Campground. It's a beautiful location full of cool people that you're going to want to hang out with. Liberty-minded folks, anarchists, voluntarists, libertarians, however they describe themselves, they're going to be there. And you get to decide what to do. It is decentralized. So unlike centralized navigation systems, the ForkFest event is a decentralized event. There's nobody who's in charge of ForkFest. There's no board of directors to make bad choices. There's no organizers. There's no tickets as a result.
The traffic is going to be terrible then.
It's pretty light. There's not that many people there. ForkFest.party, or maybe it'll blow up this year. We don't know. We have no idea. There's no ticket sales, so we have no real way of measuring what's going to happen. It's just all going to be whoever shows up and whatever they create. Because you can do, you know, you can just hang out and relax and go camping with other people that care about freedom, or you can create a thing for people to do there. Maybe you want to cook for people, or maybe you want to put on a, you know, musical event, or perhaps throw a poker game or something like that. You know, you can kind of do what you want, and people will join you in it, likely, if it's fun.
Food and entertainment seems to be important.
Indeed. June 29th until July 5th, that's when you want to mark your calendar for. You can already get your reservations over at Rogers Campground campsite, RV site, or motel room. June 29th. Through July 5th, go to ForkFest.party to learn more about the event. There's a ForkFest chat room on the Telegram platform there. There's also a forum over at ForkFest.party. So let's talk more about this idea of centralizing traffic control. You know, of course, we already know, just as a general rule, that centralization, a one-size-fits-all solution, one provider of any given service, usually means you're going to have a crappy system. You're going to have a system that's run poorly. It's expensive, right? If you have a monopoly, whether it's run by the state or run by some corporation, if there's no competition out there, then they don't have an incentive to be excellent. So while the mathematician here may be correct theoretically, if there was this oracle, this computer that did have all of the data from all of the cars on the road, yeah, it would be able to do a better job routing people around and do the most efficient job at that. But the odds that that system could ever be created or, you know, fed with the data that is would be necessary to feed it.
Government mandated.
That would be the only way to do it, would be to have the government mandate this one-size-fits-all system, which then would be run by some crappy corporation.
And that's going to cause accidents, because if my car can tell me where I have to go and I have to listen to it, I can't avoid places that I know my car can't handle. I can't avoid places where I don't feel comfortable driving because the turn's too sharp or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you can tell me you have to drive down this road at this time...
People I think
are going to die.
I think he's talking about a world where you're not even driving.
It could be.
It's the car itself that then would be going.
But that still doesn't affect my tire quality.
Mm-hmm,
it
sure,
still doesn't affect my car height.
But even in your case, though, right? You would be one of the people not avoiding the traffic jam then, right? Like the system would reroute you the most efficient way to get you to your end destination as quickly and efficiently as possible, and you avoiding that would be choosing to take a less efficient...
That's
less
fine, effort. Because maybe it wants to reroute me in the winter in an unpaved road.
Right.
And, well, that's the other thing. GPSs fail sometimes, too. So if you legally mandate that you take the GPS routes, that's a problem. If you don't legally mandate it, people can be like, well, I know where the GPS reroutes people to. I figured that out. I'm going to do this other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can empathize with this guy. I see where he's coming from. I can't agree with where he's coming from, not only on a principled basis, simply because I don't believe that one size can fit all, and I don't think that you can have the most efficient solution, because it's ultimately human beings who will program the thing. And who's to say that this centralized corporation has the best algorithms? Who's to say that they have the best systems for figuring these things out, especially without competition? Sure.
So I'm going to step back from the takeaways for a moment, just because one of his complaints is that he's got all these solutions and cities aren't listening.
No one listens to him.
Right. So he's advocating for a one-size-fits-all navigation system, and cities going like, but probably not the best idea. All right. So odd dichotomy.
Well, from their perspective, it's hard to implement compliance on a system like that, too.
Okay.
I mean, it would be incredibly difficult to try to crack down on people and say, you must be using Waze.
You used the wrong GPS under arrest.
But what does government want? They want more power. They want more control. And
they
he's
do.
Saying the best way to alleviate a problem in your city is to take more control. And they're going, well, maybe not. Right? It's weird.
It's surprising. Yeah.
It is surprising. Okay. So takeaway number two, parking bans. Many urban roads are too narrow and cannot be physically widened. Traffic flow models can indicate where parking spots should be turned into lanes.
Okay. So
I could just drive around in a big circle in the city, but I can't ever actually go anywhere because I can't park my car.
In certain narrow city streets.
Arguably, again, in a system where, you know, in the future, there's going to likely be less need to own a car, right? So we're already moving towards that in certain cities where
right.
they have systems where you can rent a car for a moment. Basically, you can, I forget what they're called, Zipcar is one of the companies, there's certain...
Well, yeah, and then you're kind of betting your whole life on this company not only continuing to exist, but continuing to meet your needs in a way
you're
that
you're not betting
you
your whole life. It's,
you pretty much are, because then if you don't,
you can always
no, you
go
don't
buy
have a car.
I mean, you can always, you're just not having a car. And,
there's plenty of people that already take the bus.
Yeah. This allows, right, so there's obviously bus and mass, you know, transportation
right.
options. But for the individual, there's this idea of, well, of course, Ubers and Lyfts, they're all over the place. You can just grab one of those and get to where you need to go. In a city like New York City, there's really no reason to have a car in a lot of cases. It
right.
just gets in the way. It makes it difficult. The parking sucks already.
It's expensive to park it any place.
It's highly expensive.
That's a whole lot of autonomy I am not willing to give up.
Yeah, well, that's why you don't live in a city. One of the reasons why, right?
I mean, I kind of do live in a city, but I have a parking spot.
You live in Manchester, New Hampshire, with, what, 100,000?
I have no
population?
Idea.
Let's
biggest city in New Hampshire, man.
It is. It is the big city in New Hampshire.
I mean, it's not a metropolis.
Does Manchester have underground parking?
I don't know.
No.
I've never
okay.
looked for it.
That's because there's plenty of that. I mean, even though its parking's not all over the place, there's still enough on the ground level or whatever, or through parking garages. In New York City, like in Manhattan, where Mark and I go every year for the Talkers Conference, there's underground parking all over the place. And it's like $50 a day.
Yeah.
In order to park your car. And that's like a decent price. There's some of them more expensive.
That's about what some of the ones in New Orleans are going for.
Really?
Yeah.
My wife was just in New York, and even when we went to visit at the end of 2018, I think it was 2018, right, you park your car at the hotel parking lot, which in our case at that time was like down the street. It wasn't even like attached to the hotel. And then you couldn't get your car out, right? It was like they park it, they stack them all in there.
Yeah, you got
to
wait.
And then you got to wait. So it's not even worth trying to go in and out to get around the city. You just park it. You travel, you know, by the subways,
right.
or you walk, and then when you're ready to leave the city, you go back and
get your
car. Yeah.
That's how we do it.
That's
when we're there.
Yeah. There's no autonomy there.
Well, yeah, so if you're just visiting somewhere, it's probably not as urgent, like, oh, I have to be at X place at 8 a.m. every day.
Right. But if you're living in New York, it's probably more difficult to take your car
right.
from point A to point B.
If you're living in New York and you got to be somewhere by a certain time of the day, you don't want to be driving there. You want to get on the, you know, the
Did I gotta, like, be all paranoid and anxious and trust another human being every day?
Yeah,
no.
You don't belong in New York City.
No, I don't. I do not belong in New York City.
And neither do I. I can't stand being there. I mean, I don't have to be. Being there temporarily, fine. One night, okay, no big deal. It's kind of, you know, oh, we're in the city. Look at all the things. There's good Chinese food.
Touristy.
And then we leave. There's more coming up here. 855-450-FREE. 855-450-3733. Two more points on this. Coming
up
here in moments. It's Free Talk Live.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call, 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years.
years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. Moments remain here. Enough time for you if you join us now. The number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Richie Rich, you are the host of the Anarchist Experience.
Yes, sir. Anarchistexperience.com.
And what is it?
It's just a podcast me and my buddy started 6 years ago now. We're on year six.
Congratulations.
We just wrapped up 5 years, did the week one of year six yesterday. Mostly talking about the whole Peter Schiff losing his Bitcoin debacle and what, you know, what you can do
to avoid that,
and you know, protect your own wealth outside of the Federal Reserve system.
Sounds like a useful episode. Head over to anarchistexperience.com. You can download there, subscribe to the podcast.
Yep. It's on iTunes,
it's free.
SoundCloud.
So enjoy it. So, Richie, before we go back to the phones here, let's continue with the traffic expert, mathematics guy who says he knows how to solve these problems. Point number two here,
parking bans,
was that he thought it would be useful to use data to say, hey, look, New York City or whatever other congested place we're talking about, you really would be better off taking those on-street parking spaces and adding another lane.
Turning them into lanes.
More traffic flow through the lanes, and then let, you know, more parking garages be built or underground parking.
That's an implication. He's not saying that in the article, but that's definitely an implication.
That's where the cars would have to go.
Right.
And honestly, I think that's a good solution. That makes a lot of sense to me because it would improve the traffic flow because these cities, you can't make the streets much wider. There's big old buildings there, so, you know, you can't really do that. But you could take away the parking from the side of the road. And honestly, it's not going to inconvenience that many people because there aren't that many spaces on the side of the street, right? Like, there's only so many cars that can be on the side of the street as compared to when you stack them vertically or when you stack them underground, you know.
There's only so many spaces, and someone's always there first.
Almost always.
I don't know when those spaces ever open up.
Right. And then you get the UPS truck that stops in the next lane.
Yep.
To unload their stuff.
Oh, you're going to love D.C. They stop right in the middle of the road to unload.
They do it all the time in New York.
There you go.
All right, so next number, number three here on the points.
Green lanes. For cities that want to increase electric car use, special lanes should be created for electric cars.
Okay, this is not a way to alleviate traffic.
Yeah, that's not good.
All right. Is that it? Because that's all it says. That's an incentive for electric car use.
Well, yeah, but it's not. If this is a list to alleviate traffic. This is not a way to.
That's like an environmentalist wish list there.
Fair enough. Number four is a little weird. Digital twins. Traffic demands and available infrastructure.
Wait. I'm sorry to interrupt. But, you know, on the whole green lane thing, what about getting rid of the HOV lanes?
That would probably alleviate traffic.
I think that would help, yeah. Because
most people aren't going to work with two or three people.
Right, because that was the idea behind the HOV lanes, is that, oh, well, we'll just make this special lane for all the people that are, you know, it'll give you an incentive to put somebody else in your car and do good for the environment, and now you can go faster. But
you just use it when you happen to have another person in the car anyway.
Well, yeah, now you're destroying jobs.
Almost always there's nobody in that lane.
There's big cities where panhandlers, hobos, bums, and homeless people will put their thumb out for the HOV lane. You give them a few bucks, they ride down the freeway one way. So you take the HOV lane for like $10 or whatever, and then they thumb their way back the other way and give someone else a chance in the HOV
lane.
There
you go.
So they're enterprising.
That's smart.
Homeless people out there.
All right, sorry, go on.
But not with that, not what the intended purpose was.
I'm sure it's not, but hey, you want jobs or not? You want them to work or not? Okay, so this one's a little weird. Digital twins. Traffic demands and available infrastructure can only be balanced with digital modeling that creates an entire twin of existing roadways. The software will be an extremely useful thought tool in the hands of transport engineers. So it's not doesn't necessarily alleviate traffic on the road, but for the traffic engineers, the city engineers, having a full model of the traffic patterns and of traffic modeled out for them is useful to help them make their decision, I guess.
So he's saying they don't have a digital representation of traffic systems?
That's what it sounds like. It's definitely the weirdest of the three, okay. Or the four, I mean.
Okay.
I don't know.
Since it's the government, I believe that, but I shouldn't be surprised that that's the case. I would expect them to have something like that.
Yeah. I got to say the best solution of all the four of them is getting rid of the parking on the side of the street.
Traffic modeling is a complex branch of applied mathematics, partially because it assumes that drivers are selfish and pursuing their own goals, rather than any predictable or shared efforts. Every year,
right, because I'm not in a shared effort with every other person on the road.
But a shared effort could make it more efficient. Every year, a considerable budget is allocated for improving roads. Our models suggest that a set of solutions for the efficient management of these funds. And just in case you were wondering...
Well, then, don't turn it over to the government. If you want an efficient management of funds for traffic, it should not be in the hands of the state.
Well,
that's one of your problems.
That begs a whole other question, then who would manage it in a world where the state owns the vast majority of all the roads?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah. And I think that we would only be able to find out by getting rid of the state and seeing what happens. How do you transition from that to what we're talking about, though? That's the real question, is do you put the roads up for auction? Do you just cede the roads to the existing property owners alongside the road? And then
I don't think that would work.
Why not?
Because there's too much road to be managed like 10 feet at a time.
But then those property owners could sell their property to a road management company that comes along and offers them some money and says, hey, we'll take care of this.
Right. And so I believe your first solution is that minus the step of ceding it to the property owners first, right? Just a road management company takes over ownership some form or fashion.
So would it be up to bid? Would the government say, all right, Elm Street in Manchester, we're going to put it up for bid. Whoever pays us the most money, you can have it. Is that what you're saying?
That's one way to allocate it, but I think a road management company will be far more effective than an individual property owner.
I've heard the argument that the people who work on the road, though they kind of have some issues with the fact that there's right now government agents, have already more or less homesteaded the roads. I don't know that argument is particularly solid, but it's an option.
Like just give it to the people currently running it, but make it private?
But the actual contractors, not the
Department of Public Works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll buy that.
Should the contractor get the whole city? Should Manchester be run, all the roads in Manchester be run by one company? That doesn't sound like a very good solution. That sounds like the monopoly solution.
Is that what you're suggesting? That's not a monopoly. That's, I mean, I don't know how it's split up now as far as who works on it.
Well, it is a monopoly if one company owns every road in Manchester.
Right, but that doesn't mean that the same construction crew works on every road in Manchester. I have no idea how that's set up.
Me neither. I don't know if it's going to the highest bidder or the lowest bidder.
But one person owning a thing.
It could be set for natural monopolies as well. It may be more
if it's efficient. It's not a natural monopoly if the government's
right,
handing
it's not,
to somebody.
But right. Roads might be a natural monopoly. I don't know. We can't know because they're two government owns right now.
Let's go to Mortified Penguin. He's on the line here on our Discord server at discord.lrn.fm. Go ahead, Penguin.
Hey, yeah, I don't have anything to say about roads in particular, but it was kind of a good segue. So you were talking earlier about getting rid of the government. This can be tied to roads, but just in, you know, whether we snap your finger and this is, you wish it goes away, or, you know, you legislate it out of existence, so, you know, you fire all the bureaucrats and everything, and really, or, you know, some people suggest, you know, armed revolt or something like that in some sense. I've, you know, heard that mentioned, of course. And we have to understand is there is really only, like, if you don't like the way the state runs institutions, there's really only one way, and it's a positive way. It's not destroying or getting rid of, because we simply don't have the power to do that, the government institutions, but alternative institutions have to be created. And it's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. So people that, for whatever personal preferences, engage in non-governmental institutions, and we engage in non-governmental institutions basically all the time, and relationships not based on force. But people who have these preferences that aren't libertarians need to, you know, be exposed to libertarianism, and libertarians need to further, you know, make use of alternative institutions until the point where those institutions compete with government ones.
And there's not really like a market of competing the private institutions against the government ones. There's plenty of so homeschooling exists and private schools exists.
Yeah.
No amount of homeschooling and private schooling is going to drive the public schools out of, quote, business,
mm-hmm,
because they're not a business. So that
a very large. It's a long road down to that point, but a very large. I mean, the amount of homeschool people were minuscule compared to, you know,
right,
public schools.
That makes it more difficult.
Well, right. I think what Melanie's pointing out here is, though, even if you manage to seep more public school students into the homeschooling / private schooling area, it's not like the government schools are just going to fold up shop and go away. They're getting tax money.
Yeah, eventually, until their base of students just starts to dwindle, and really is a real significant hit.
Well, hit because it's not a for-profit business.
Yeah. They keep collecting taxes. The only way you're going to hit the system is if people stop paying the taxes.
They'll get their budget raised.
Then you'll hit the system. I wish we had more time, Penguin. Thank you for the call tonight. Call tomorrow. We can talk more then. Online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
Do you like going to your job every day? Can you set your own schedule and take long vacations whenever you want? Are you free to do whatever you want in your dating or sex life? I'm Caleb Jones, and I've taught hundreds of thousands of men how to create low-work, high-income businesses and how to date women under your terms. Watch our free, on-demand replay training with me so you can learn how to create location-independent income and date women the way you want. Go to alpha.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live is now on more than 200 radio stations nationwide. We've had more than 18 million podcast downloads, and we claim millions of listens a month. We're a multimedia ad venue with print, email, web, and terrestrial radio marketing platforms. We strive to have ad packages that cater to advertisers big and small. Contact me today at marketfreetalklive.com to see what we can do for you. Marketfreetalklive.com. If you're a local advertiser, contact this station. But if you can service a national audience, contact me, marketfreetalklive.com.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen. oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.